You can put your questions to Michael Portillo by emailing them to vote2001@bbc.co.uk. That's election call tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock here on BBC Radio 4. Now a word from Mark Lawson.
It's not often at a literary festival that you see people hanging out of windows to glimpse the speaker or handing their babies past the policemen to be kissed. But that was the case at the Hay on Wye Festival this year. Admittedly, the speaker in question, former US President Bill Clinton, has not yet published a book, but his visit electrified a festival from where a Front Row special reports tonight. I'll also be talking to playwright Willie Russell, author of Educating Rita and Shirley Valentine, about his first novel. And American writer Richard Ford, author of Independence Day, explains how he achieved a literary career despite problems with dyslexia and adverbs. A Front Row special from the Hay on Wye Literary Festival at 7:15.
And now, a Radio 4 favourite returns.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Reading, a fine town steeped in a rich history. Britain's oldest known song was written here in about 1240. Its early English title, Summa Isicumin in Ihuda Sing Cuckoo, which to our modern ear sounds quite meaningless, translates as Agadoo Doo Doo Push Pine. William Laud, Archbishop of Canterbury from 1633, was born in Broad Street, where W.H. Smith stands, which is evidenced by the Laud family crest of a crossed pen and pencil set argent, topped by readers' wives rampant. Reading is proud to be the home of the Yellow Pages, and what a boon they are. If you want to unblock a toilet, they'll readily find you a... They'll readily find your bulldozer to drive through the middle of Slough. In Silver Street, but a stone's throw from this very theatre, is found the Oxford Arms, an ancient hostelry where hangmen used to take the condemned for a last drink before their execution in the town square. However, the tradition of going out for a few beers in preparation for dying in public hasn't entirely disappeared here. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And eager as ever to score on the desk next to me, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Right then, let's start with a game called Missed Hits. It's all very well writers and producers churning out work for public entertainment, but the most important element is the title. For example, the words Alistair Cook's Letter from America are in themselves guarantee of an enthralling 30 seconds of stateside news packed into a 15-minute intake of breath. But sometimes it all goes wrong. So, teams, I'd like to hear your suggestions, please, of films, books, TV or radio programmes guaranteed to flop for want of a decent title. Barry, will you start, please?
So, Graham Gooch.
Jeremy.
Captain Corelli's Stylophone.
Graham.
Buffy the Vampire Slapper.
Tim.
Bridget Jones' Diarrhea.
It'll be all Dennis Norden on the night.
There's a new Jerry Halliwell hit.
Oh, yes.
It's raining then.
Groundhog Day 2.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Cat Poo.
The Lady Varnishes.
It was a song that never made it. I've got you under my sink.
The killing of Sister Wendy. That's a hit, I think.
Count up.
Madame Tussaud's Chamber of Commerce.
OK, the teams are going to perform in a music round now called One Song to the Tune of Another. A concept which is well understood by everyone who keeps up with modern broadcasting techniques. So what happens, teams, is that we take a selection of songs and switch the words around between them. It might help to think of the songs as Grand Prix racing cars and their drivers. All the drivers could easily get out and swap cars in any combination, and it wouldn't matter which car with which driver. You'd still have the unrivaled spectacle of grown men dressed in romper suits driving mobile fag packets around in circles for 2 hours. And teams, I can almost literally hear you thinking, surely the great man has overlooked something. I wonder which of you would be the first to spot that deliberate mistake. Oh, yes, what about Murray Walker? Surely this wouldn't be complete without a constant stream of mistakes made by some incompetent banging on incomprehensibly in the background. At the piano, we have Colin Searle. Okay, well, we're going to start with you, Barry. Will you please sing the words of Old MacDonald Had a Farm to the tune of Marlene Dietrich's lovely Falling in Love Again.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on his farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. And falling apart with a chick, chick here and a chick. Chick there, here a chick, there a chick everywhere, a chick, chick. Where am I? Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on his farm he had some ducks I never collaborated, E-I-E-I-O. With a quack, quack here, and a quack, quack there, here a quack.
Okay, Tim now, will you sing the words of the Hallelujah Chorus to the tune of Oklahoma?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
okay, Graham now, will you please sing the words of A Whiter Shade of Pale to the tune of Roll Out the Barrel?
We skip the light, fandango, turn cartwheels, cross the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick, but the crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling flew away. When we called out for another drink, the waiter brought a tray. All together now, and how it was that later, as the miller told his tale, that a face at first disgusted me turned a whiter shade of pale. She said there is no reason, and the truth is plain to see, but I wandered through my playing cards, and I would not let her be.
And finally, And finally, Jeremy.
Big finish.
Words
big finish.
Laden with doom. Will you please sing the words of Que Sera Sera to the tune of When Johnny Comes Marching Home?
It seems unlikely.
When I was just a little girl,
hurrah, hurrah!
I asked my mother, what will I be?
Hurrah, hurrah!
Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Is what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my lover, what will there be? Will there be rainbows day after day? This is what she said to me. No fun. She said to me, que sera, que sera. Whatever will be.
Que sera, que sera.
The future is not ours to see. What will be. Now I have children of my own. I ask them, mother, what will I be?
Don't worry, Jeremy, I don't think anyone noticed. OK, the entire nation has been gripped by election fever ever since Mr. Blair decided to go to the country and found it was still shut. We have something of an exclusive now with the teams putting their questions to those who hope to be our next Prime Minister. Broadcasting rules dictate that during an election campaign we have to give equal airtime to each possible contender. So this will be divided into three sections, the Labour interview, the Conservative interview, and tea and biscuits. Actually, that's a little harsh on Charles Kennedy, whose speeches remind us of the powers of fine oratory displayed by that other famous Kennedy, Nigel. Obviously, Mr. Blair and Mr. Haig couldn't be with us today. So instead, we've captured several of their favourite words and expressions on an electronic sampler for each team to use in answer to various questions. Tim and Jeremy, in front of you is a remote control keypad on which are a number of buttons. Each one you press will elicit a popular word or phrase used by Tony Blair. You ask a series of questions of Mr. Blair and then provide the answers in his absence by pressing the appropriate buttons. Okay, are you ready? Start your interview now, please.
Prime Minister, I'd just like to test you on your knowledge of youth culture. Who had a hit last year with Real Slim Shady?
I think the answer is Black Sabbath.
No. No, I'm afraid that's wrong. It's Eminem.
I think people will say, yes, that's true. And the answer is absolutely not Black Sabbath. But I don't accept that.
But it wasn't Black Sabbath.
Education, education, education.
You're just trying to change the subject, aren't you?
Yes, that's true. Education, education, education.
In your parliament, you've made many constitutional changes. Which institution are you most pleased to have abolished?
The Labour Party.
Thank you. Thank you, Prime Minister. Good night.
Black Sabbath.
OK, your turn now, Barry and Graham. In front of you is an electronic keypad containing several of William Hague's best loved words and phrases. Incredible how small these gadgets are these days. As you ask your questions of Mr. Haig, I'd like you to press the appropriate buttons in order to make up his reply. Ready? Huh. OK, then start your questions now, please.
Mr. Haig, the voters are all asking how you lost your hair.
From an early age. I was bashing it about.
Yes. And that made your hair fall out. I see. The campaign trail is notoriously very tiring. How do you relax?
I believe in sticking up for conservative women.
And how do they feel about that?
Only one in eight.
are outraged. Thank God.
You started young in politics. How did your parents rate your early political activities?
Poor. Much worse. I was the ultimate humiliation.
And what are your views on Tony Blair and Peter Mandelson?
They remind me of conservative women. Or Welsh. Asylum seekers.
Black Sabbath.
We seem to have been joined, Mr. Haig. Your own popularity is pretty low. Still, it could be worse. You could have been Anne Robinson.
Or Welsh.
Mr. Haig, thank you.
I say, let's play an old favourite now called Cheddar Gorge. Just one of a surprisingly large number of games with a title derived from place names. There's Felixstowe, an East Anglian game that involves hiding cat food. Then we have Fishguard, a Welsh game where you have to pick a soldier out of a river. And, of course, we mustn't forget County Down, the game inspired by a Chinese space launch. In Cheddar Gorge, the teams alternate one word at a time in order to make up a sentence which they're not allowed to complete. If I detect a full stop has been reached, Samantha has orders to firmly squeeze my horn, which... which will sound like this. Jim, I'd like you to start, please. This week's subject is A Day in the Life of a Penny. Off you go.
I was
going
to
see
a
friend
when
I
saw
him
lying
by
the
sea,
which
was
in
the
far
distance
of
my
perception,
comma,
although
notwithstanding
I
held
the
place
for
a
short
while
before
I
saw
a
very
large
and
fulsome
yet
strangely
attractive
lewd
sorry
lewd
yeah sorry
penny
in
my
hand
which
was
dirty
enough
before
the
penny
was
going
up
my
estimation.
However,
I
pushed
the
penny
immediately
further
into
a
nearby
well
where
I
saw
a
tiny
little
infinitesimal
big
although
it
was
medium-sized, if
you
know
what
I
am
trying
to
talk
about
freely
in
the
vicinity
of
this
very
same
theatre,
which
I
knew
straight away
to
have
a
license
for
something
to
do
here. And
not much of a life, that penny.
Well, you got that around.
It's becoming reminiscent of the Reading Ring Road in Russia.
The Reading Ring Road in Russia.
It's time we moved on, I'm afraid. I once asked Marlene Dietrich what her pet hate was. Well, hum, she said as she switched off the alarm clock. No. No one likes a name dropper. However, I think we can forgive Jeremy for mentioning earlier that he's descended from the naval officer Sir Thomas Masterman Hardy, who served so well under Nelson. And what a fine Rear Admiral, Hardy often used to say to him. In this game, each team conducts a conversation in which they must avoid all name-dropping. We'll start with you, Barry and Graham. Would you start your conversation now? Tim and Jeremy, you should challenge with the aid of your buzzer should you detect any famous names.
Went out for a meet last night.
Oh, where'd you go?
Oh, nice place. Yeah. Very posh. Spice a speciality.
Oh, yeah, I know. I bet I know what Tim had.
What?
Tim, curry. Tim, rice. And I bet he was noisy after that, wasn't he?
Not a dicky bird.
No. Well, he wasn't like that at school.
Fairbanks Jr.
No. Kelsey Grammer.
Challenge from Tim.
Did they say Michelangelo?
No. Where did you eat last night, then?
Me? Well, Jeremy and I, we went down the caff at a sarnie.
You were pushing the boat out?
No, well, we decided to have one sarnie and share.
Ah. Share a sarnie? Jeremy? Hardly.
I'm happy with Madonna kebab.
Sarah. See ya.
I can't say the buzzer's actually overheating. Your turn now, Tim and Jeremy. Would you begin your conversation now? And ears out, Barry and Graham.
Lovely, isn't it? Lovely here.
Lovely party, yeah. Look at Charles dance.
Oh, yes.
Well, here comes Edith. What a dame, Edith. Heavens above.
How many, if I may ask, I've often wondered, how many children have you?
How many kids have I got?
How many?
Now let me see. There's Jamie, Lee, Curtis, Jennifer, Jason, Lee. Lee's the favourite, that's why I mentioned him twice. The youngest, I've just bought her, got her a new pony, actually. Second hand, Winona Rider.
I've just gone into the paint business, you know.
Yeah?
A whole new range of paint colours.
Tell us what they are, then.
Well, there's Graham Green, Lionel Blue, Gordon Brown, Sid Cerise, Cilla Black, and Boutros Magnolia.
We've just started a cricket team, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Peter Bowles.
Oh, you are going
with,
to.
With Helen Fielding. Some people are very critical of the team. Wesley Snipes.
Good night, Jeremy.
Good night. Helen.
Challenge from Graham.
Yeah, do you really sell paint?
I can let you have some.
Yeah, because I wanted to watch some dry.
We have another musical round now called Swanee Kazoo, where the teams combine the ethereal delights of the Swanee whistle with the impudent rasp of the kazoo. Yes, Swanee and kazoo. Two words that go together as naturally as cannon and ball, Xmas and special, or scraping and barrel. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell, who was telling us earlier that he was handsomely rewarded last week for performing at a bachelor's concert. So if anyone needs a cheap catering pack of cuppa soup, see Colin afterwards. Tim and Jeremy, you can start by providing a version of Doo Wah Diddy Diddy to feature Jeremy Hardy on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle. Okay, you now, Barry and Graham, would you provide a version of Getting to Know You from The King and I, featuring Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle?
Do
Well, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but there's still time to squeeze in a round of Beekeepers Film Club. As a matter of fact, Samantha's just started keeping bees and already has 36 or so. She says she's got an expert handler coming round to give a demonstration. He'll carefully take out her 38 bees and soon have them flying round his head. So, while she's away doing that, I'd like the teams to provide film titles likely to prove popular with an audience of beekeeping enthusiasts. Graham, will you start, please?
Lady Windermere's Bee.
Stinging in the Rain. With Gene Jelly.
Planet of the Apiaries.
Honey, I Stung the Kids.
Silence of the Bees with Hannibal Nectar.
Pollen Academy.
The Cruel Bee.
The Sting.
Pollen Academy 2.
The Cook, the Thief, His Wife and Her Bee. And Her Bee Rides Again.
Right. Pollen Academy 3.
Temporarily Blinded Bee, Bedazzled.
Bring Me the Hive of Alfredo Garcia.
And so
the bee who shot Liberty Valance. The bee in the iron mask. Twelve Angry Bees.
Mercy.
Be her. By Cecil Wasp DeMille.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
Citizen Bee.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as the actress of time said to the Bishop of Destiny, that's that, finished your game for another week. So from the team, Samantha, myself and the good folk of Reading, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor would be given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.
And that programme is repeated on Sunday at 12 noon. However, if you can't wait till Sunday to hear more from Humph and the teams, you may be interested to know that there are now 6 audio cassettes of the programme on the BBC Radio Collection, as well as 3 books published by Orion, including The Little Book of Mornington Crescent. These books are currently available from most book and record shops.